dating is really about, okay, feeling someone out and exploring whether this person can meet you in the way that you want to be met. And that actually takes you vulnerably leading with your desires, you bringing forth what's important to you so that man can either say, fuck yes, or no.
Yo, 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 lovers, welcome, welcome, welcome to Sex, Love, and Everything in Between. We're the O'Neills. You're here with Meg and Jacob.
And this is the place we have really uncensored conversations about sex, intimacy, and relationships. We're super excited you're here. Enjoy this episode.
Hey, hey, lovers.
Hi, hi.
How are you, my love?
I'm feeling great.
Yeah?
Great.
You are looking great.
Am I?
Yeah.
Like, what about me specifically?
You're glowing. You're radiating.
I actually had quite a few people tell me at the market.
Oh,
it
really?
Might be because I don't know if it's the pregnancy or I'm using castor oil on my face, which is very shiny.
You are very shiny.
So I think it's more just the shininess of the castor oil.
It could be.
I didn't say that to people at the markets. I just received, yes, I'm glowing.
And
I'm growing
you
a baby
feel
and glow.
Alive.
I'm very alive
You've
right now.
You got a
now.
Clean office. We cleaned your office last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We moved in, what, like a month ago?
Yep.
And I was very good. Would you say I half finish things sometimes?
I wouldn't say that. No.
Not in like my work or mainly just cleaning and tidying things.
I would say that you do things, but then the finishing of them doesn't become a priority.
Yes.
I would say that you do finish things 95%. You are actually an incredible finisher.
Thank you.
You always finish me off. Always. I never not get what I want. I love that this is being video recorded because then I can do.
You can do that. Hey, wink.
Yeah.
The facial.
Real life emojis.
So if you're not currently listening to this, watching this episode, go to YouTube
yeah,
so you can
YouTube.
See Jacob's intense.
Like and subscribe.
Facials.
Jesus. All right. Am I getting the facials or am I giving the facials? Because there's two I need to know before I agree to it. Are you imagining me getting facials right now?
Oh, Jesus. My God. Wowza. Okay, let's keep going.
Let's keep going.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
But I would say that, yes, you quite often complete the tasks that you set out on. But when it comes to, like, I think your office, like, when you're in your office, it's just work too. Like, it's, like, all that stuff around you. I would say that your environment doesn't really affect your ability to be productive.
Yeah.
For me, massively.
Well, I can be in an untidy home. Which I think is, that's why I'm going to thrive in parenthood.
Yeah, you're
like, I don't have to have all the dishes clean to have a good day.
Yeah.
I don't have to have, and then there is a point in which, like right now, our house is quite dirty because the dog was coming in and bringing dirt from inside and we had the cleaner just come and I was just like aching for the cleaner to come.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not a total feral.
No, I would argue that you've like come leaps and bounds from when we first got together. And
yeah.
Like you are, but I think what I felt of going to your office, like my office is like everything's, I'm big into trinkets, by the way, guys. I'm a trinket guy. I like little trinkets, crystals for healing, little things like that.
Can we tell what happened in my office last night?
Yeah. What happened in your office?
Well, we're cleaning out, you know, when you just like collect things over time. And I just, and this is why I kept avoiding this task. I had like all these boxes of just little things.
Yes.
And I was like, this can't go in the bin, but I've got it. And I don't want to put it on my altar. I don't want to like display it in our home.
Yeah.
But it's just sitting here right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jacob offered to, let's go in and tidy your office tonight. And I just had like boxes of crystals, just so many crystals. And I used to be a crystal gal, like, put crystals in my pockets, put crystals in my bra. I would just have crystals everywhere. And now I, what?
Where else?
Now I only put crystals
in your
in
ass.
My orifices.
Are you just going to laugh this whole podcast?
Yeah, I feel so good. But you said to me last night, you were like, bring back, what did you say?
Bring back the Maggie that sits under the full moon with crystals in her hand, charging them up. I want a bit more of, I want more of that Maggie. Bring her back.
What did I say?
No.
No, I said, she's gone forever.
I devoured her.
I am the mother now. Because there is something, for me, that was like when I was in that maiden archetype and that really like naive early spirituality where
it's so strong in the light feminine energy. Like light feminine energy. Yeah. So I love it.
Like everything is just beautiful and positive and, I still believe this, like everything does awesome. Happen for a reason, but it's more like bypassing and telling people that. And yeah, like I was very in that floaty, flowy, mm-hmm. light feminine mm-hmm. when we met, which I think was so attractive at the time.
Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah. And you still love that kind of energy.
I love that energy.
Even the first party, this is a fun little side story. For those of you that know our story, we were like, I was in love with Jacob for 9 months before we actually got together mm-hmm. and he didn't really understand that I was in love with him. And we went to this party probably like 4 or 5 months into that 9 months.
Yeah.
And I was still living at home with my family and all my friends knew about you, my Ray Organics boyfriend. And I was like, we're going to kiss tonight. I'm going to kiss this guy. And at that party, I didn't drink at the time. And I think you rocked up. Kind of drunk.
I drank.
And it was
at that party.
It was a full moon and I took everyone outside and I did a full moon ritual and you would like, it was so not the vibe of the party, but I enjoyed it. I was getting everyone out under the full moon. We were writing things down. I was leading people in burning things on the ground, burning things under the full moon.
That was fun. Like I thought that really was, that was a great party.
That was fun.
Didn't end.
Well, then we slept in the same bed with my other friend.
Yes.
And I was just like cuddled up next to you mm-hmm. thinking like, I think he's going to roll over and kiss me. Mm. I think he's going to make a move on me. And you didn't.
I didn't.
And then the next morning you were like, I'm going to go home. I'm like, I'll drive you.
To your house.
I want to see where you live. Well, I'd actually been to your house the day before.
Yeah.
But that's another story. Anyway. And then last night I was like, I'm done with all these crystals and you were loving the trinkets and the crystals and the shiny things.
She wanted to throw them all out.
Well, we're going to go put them in the garden now.
Yeah, we're going to go put them in the garden. Shout out to our beautiful friend, Sam McPherson. He literally came over and hung out and we spent some time together and he stayed the night and he went to Bunnings and bought seedlings and mulch and came and like set up our whole veggie garden for us.
It was so generous so beautiful.
He said the most beautiful thing too. And he took photos of us. If you've seen them on Instagram, like he took some trimester two photos, which isn't really a thing, apparently.
I love someone commented saying, I love that you guys got trimester two photos done. I'm like, I did not organize this.
It was kind of like,
I was in my active wear. I was in tiny little like yoga pants.
That's like when we had your 29th birthday and everyone's like, is Meg 30? I was like, no, she's 29. I was like, this is weird.
I know,
But anyway, yeah, Sam has created this beautiful veggie garden for us and we're going to go and place the crystals around there for good energy because that's
good
what
energy.
Spiritual people do. And Sam said the most beautiful thing. He's like, I'll do anything for a pregnant woman. I'll do anything. If she's so walking cute. Across the street and needs something, you know, if I see her carrying something heavy, I'll go over there and I'll lift it for her. Gardening. He's like, I'll do anything for a pregnant woman. It's just like, he's just like so... has such a deep reverence for the journey to mother. And he's a father as well. And with I'm actually going to be doing their wedding later this year, which is super exciting. Him and his beautiful beloved and their little boy. And yeah, it's just, that's a weird segue from, crystals into motherhood, but I just wanted to shout him out and just, I'm looking out at the garden and it's just like, how cool is life?
Life is so cool.
Shall we Shall we jump in?
Yeah, I think we've
exhausted the intro energy. Mm-hmm. This is actually half a podcast.
I know. That's
awesome. We're going well.
So, topic of today, I've actually had a few people recently and over the last year of being on the podcast ask if we could do an episode on dating.
Yes.
And specifically within that conversation, speak about dating apps.
Yes.
Now, obviously, you know, we've been together a decade.
Decade.
Have you ever had a dating app?
Yeah, I did. We can get into that. But yeah, I was chatting to a single mum from Coffs Harbour once. And then I just became really good friends with her. And I don't know, she was like 10 years old. And I was just like, I couldn't really get my head around like tuning women and getting them over to my house. I wasn't the best at dating. Let's just say that.
Yes. And then I'm going to side note, remember how our friend had recently broken up with his partner?
Oh, yeah.
He was at our house like 5 years ago.
Yes.
And he was getting on Tinder for the first time. And Jacob's like, oh, I want to check this out and see what it's like.
Yeah.
Jacob downloaded a profile and then months later, you mustn't have deleted it months later.
No, I deleted the app, but not my profile. Not my profile. So you got to shut down your profile.
And I got a message from someone being like, hey, I don't know if you know this, but your partner is on Tinder.
Jesus.
That was funny.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about dating apps, our thoughts on that, what we would really, and you know, I work with a lot of women that are single but deeply desire partnership. Mm-hmm. And so I really want to come from the perspective of what I really see are powerful things to bring to that season of life when you're desiring deep partnership. Because you can be on a dating app or you can be in the world of dating and not want deep partnership.
Mm-hmm.
You could be dating, you know, to have a lover. You could be dating for many different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But this conversation, I would say, is really about dating with the intention of being in deep partnership.
Why else would you date?
Well, people date for, like I said, many reasons.
Oh, then they want to get married like me and have a beautiful woman. Let's not go into personal bias. I've learned about that.
Okay.
I think that's, like, for me, dating, the first thing that you've like alluded to, which I think is important, is like, why are you dating? Are you dating? Are you dating to explore and you want to have, you know, different relationships and feel out, you know, what it would be like to be with this kind of person or that kind of person and actually like explore the dating world and get a bit of data back on like what you like and what you don't like? Cause I think that's also super important. But like for me, if you are dating to call in like a beloved that you're going to walk this life alongside, then you have to start to be getting really clear on who you are, what you desire and where you want to be spending your time. And I think that's the thing that, you know, I haven't coached a lot of guys in the dating world, but I've coached a lot of guys that are single and are wanting to call in their life partner.
Mm-hmm.
And a big part of that is them becoming the man that they know they are here to be.
Yeah.
And then setting a standard and not choosing to operate below that standard when it comes to choosing who they're going to engage with intimately.
Okay. I love where this conversation is going already. Cause I think I want to like let this be the foundation of the conversation. Cause I love that you said the word standard and what I see for women and why it's so important for a man or a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just speak about women right now. A woman to get so clear on why she's dating or why she's using an app is what I see happen is women can go into dating or go into chatting to someone and then be so quick to let go of their standards or let go of what they want in a bid to be desired or in a bid to be chosen.
Yes.
So they might want partnership and deep partnership. And then the man coming into their life or that they're dating is like, I don't want partnership. I'm actually polyamorous. You know, let's come and be it, you know. And this woman actually deep down knows that she wants to be in a monogamous partnership and knows that she wants to feel really chosen, but then is getting caught up in this energy of, oh, but I'm enjoying this attention. I'm enjoying this energy. Where this is my number one piece to any woman dating is hold your fucking standards. Like if you want to be claimed, if you want to be chosen, only be available for that. When you're off giving your energy and being available for things that are not that, you're basically saying to life, that's okay. Yes, that and more, please.
Mm-hmm.
yes, I'm going to continue to text with this man that is making me feel confused, and I'm not too sure if he likes me. I'm unsure of how, like, he actually makes me feel, yeah, like really questioning myself and second guessing myself. But there could be something here, and I'm going to keep messaging and I'm going to keep going on dates. Like, no, if you want the feeling of feeling chosen and claimed, and that is not what you're receiving, close that connection. Like, that's like, we could close this conversation right there and then, because I think that is
done.
I think that's like the number one thing. And it doesn't really matter if you're on an app or you're out at a bar or you're meeting someone at the markets or in real life. Like, that piece around holding the standard and only really being available for what you truly deeply desire is everything.
Aho. Can I ask some, like, some deeper layer questions, and you can explain? I think it's important for, especially for the women listening and also for the men, like, to understand women better. Like, if if a woman wants to be claimed and chosen, and you know you're not the one to claim and choose her, you have a duty then. If you're aware of this and you can see a story playing out for her where she's abandoning herself, you have a duty to, a responsibility to communicate that and step back,
yes,
and not engage and take advantage of, if you have that awareness, right?
That's a man of integrity.
Yes.
That can see that, even though, you know, this is like the deep gift of the masculine, to see beyond her words.
Yes.
When a woman is saying nothing's wrong,
mm-hmm.
and deep down you can feel that there's something there.
Yeah.
The same kind of energetic in she's saying, oh no, like, I'm good to just like,
Be whatever,
and like not have a, but deep down you can feel that that's not actually
the
truth.
And if you can feel her nervous system going like this and she's saying something different, that's what you focus on. If she's like, yeah, I'll do whatever you want, yeah, I'm happy to go with the flow, and her nervous system like, that's what you listen to.
Mm.
Of course, you have to have the ability to be in your body and feel through your nervous system into hers and hold it in, all that stuff. But
yeah.
I want to circle back to the standard. Why do you think, and this is, you know, this is like, I'd love you to give not necessarily specific examples, but maybe speaking to why do you feel that when a woman is presented with the opportunity to be in partnership, even if it is not 100%, maybe it's 70% perfect, why do you feel that women tend to choose the relationship rather than choose to honor their standards?
Hi, beautiful humans. I am interrupting this episode to let you know about something very new and special and completely free that Jacob and I have created for you. It is a free guide called 10 Questions to Transform Your Relationship. It is exactly what it sounds like. In this guide, there are 10 questions that are going to support you to experience deep intimacy, deeper understanding, deeper love in your partnership. No matter how long you've been together, these questions are so fucking powerful. Each and every single one of them, Jacob and I have used and continue to use in our partnership again and again and again. So if you want to download this for free, you can head to the link here in the show notes. You can head to the link in my bio over on Instagram, or you can head directly to the website at www.meg-o'neill.com/relationship-freebie. So /relationship-freebie, or make it nice and easy. Just go to the show notes and click the link. Okay, back to the episode. Oof, for many different reasons. I think because a huge piece of what women value is relationship and is love. I think as a woman.
Sorry, you keep going.
You go.
No, you keep going. No, that was rude for me to interrupt.
And I think as women, you know, there's also this added piece as a woman continues to grow older, right? That gets into maybe her late 20s, her 30s, her late 30s, her early 40s and beyond. Right. There's this story of, and there is no truth to this at all, but this story that we have fed as women around our desirability is linked to age.
Yes.
And so I think that can play a factor in this sense of like, partnership is important to me. I'm getting older. I'm going to ignore these things that I'm actually not available for, but I'm going to ignore them because my desire for love is louder than those things right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think that's one piece. I think that a huge piece is the value women place in relationships and how much women are fed by love and mm-hmm. partnership. And this is a beautiful fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a beautiful fucking thing. You were going to say something.
The desire for love is louder than like that thing that you said. I'm just like, wow, that's a really beautiful statement. And I also think it's important to hear that, especially for any men are listening, that women have that story and like it's woven into the collective through societal conditioning that the older you get, the less desirable you are.
Mm.
That's as men, we don't have that as such because our worth based on society isn't linked to how we look. It's about what we can earn or what we can provide.
Yeah.
And as a 20,
and sometimes that increases as a man ages, right?
Yeah, I would argue that at 20, a man is more desirable when he is 40 because he's built, if he goes on that societal trajectory of like I earn 50 grand when I leave school to I'm earning 250 grand when I'm 40, I could see that, you know, my desirability increases based on the perceived value I bring.
Yes.
Whereas for a woman, if she was to say I'm the hottest or the sexiest or the most attractive when I'm 20 and when I'm 40, I'm beginning to age and become old and become it's all downhill from here. There's this belief that my value deteriorates over time, which like as a man, I don't have the felt sense of that. I don't feel that in my body. So I have to really practice compassion in that regard and not choose not to buy into that story.
And I think it's, again, we're not saying there's any truth to these stories, but it is a very real experience, a reality for women that we are constantly bombarded with these stories that our youth equals desirability.
Yes.
And obviously that then plays into, you know, love and partnership and a relationship and dating. Yeah. And I think, but just back, so that's like an added piece we brought in, but I think that I love that you pointed out that the desire for love is louder. Cause I think this is, again, if you are a woman that is dating, this becomes the practice that you're devoted to, especially if you have found yourself in relationships where you're like, why did I choose this man?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's so many red flags here. Like, how did I end up in relationship with this person?
Mm-hmm.
This is usually when we're more devoted to seeing what we want to see rather than actually bringing our deep discernment online and staying anchored in our values and what we deeply desire.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you are a woman, and this I would say is also that difference between a maiden, a woman in her maiden energy, which is like, you love me? Awesome. Oh my gosh, you're nice. And like, a woman in her maiden energy hasn't quite learnt the power of fierceness and discernment.
Mm.
And she hasn't quite, you know, developed this skill to taste when something is off. And if you are wanting to be in the dating world, and I'm not saying to be cynical as fuck or to have like super duper high standards where no man is able to meet that and a man has to be perfect and a man has to do everything right. Like, no, this is totally not what I'm saying.
That can also be a protecting mechanism when you set your standards. Like, oh no, that's not the right guy. He's not perfect.
Yes.
And I think we can talk into that after, but keep going.
But yeah, to have this sense of discernment, like real discernment of, is this man actually able to meet what I deeply desire?
Yes.
And to be a woman that's willing to ask those questions as well. Mm-hmm. Ask those questions to, and this might not necessarily be on the first date, but if you know, if you're very clear on the type of partnership you desire or what you're really wanting, this is also going to be requiring your vulnerability and your openness and for you to be desire led and not push down your desires. And hopefully this man is just exactly what you want. No, like dating is really about, okay, feeling someone out and exploring whether this person can meet you in the way that you want to be met. And that actually takes you vulnerably leading with your desires, you bringing forth what's important to you so that man can either say, fuck yes, or no.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so many women avoid important conversations or, and again, I've spoken about this so much on the podcast, we as women have been conditioned to play it cool and mm-hmm. push down our desires, again, mm-hmm. thinking that's what makes us more desirable.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't care. I don't mind. Oh, you're polyamorous? Cool. I love to try that. Or like, oh, I don't care when, you know, I don't care about keeping like all of these things.
The other one is like, I'm not ready to commit fully just yet. Or like, oh, that's just like, that's just like when men won't call you. You're not his girlfriend yet. He's like, we're just seeing each other. We're just seeing, like keeping you at arm's distance. You're like, I'm cool with that. Yeah. We don't need to put a label on it.
Where if you deeply desire to be chosen, if a man is constantly saying, I don't want to put a label on it yet, I'm fine. Let a woman who's discerning and is devoted to what she wants will say, hey, that's great that you're not right. You're not ready for commitment right now. And I want to honor and respect that. And I am, and this is not for me.
And if you genuinely don't want to commit, then that's okay. But I'm not here for this.
And that, like, I did something similar at the beginning of our relationship.
Yeah.
Which really was an opportunity to, for you to step up and to claim me on the level in which I wanted to be claimed.
Yeah.
And I think, again, this is like such a key piece that, in order to get what we want in life in general, but especially in relationship, we must be willing to bring our desires to the motherfucking table.
And that was vulnerability, the way that you worded it before, because if you're a woman and you're experiencing this non-committal flakiness of, let's not put a label on it. And you're like, you're avoidant. No, I want a man that's actually able to claim me. Bye. I want an actual man, not a boy. And you start throwing all of these attacks. It's like, that's not going to give him the opportunity to like lean in. Cause maybe that's his way of like keeping himself safe is never letting anyone in. And if you came to him and said, hey, listen, like I get that you just want to like not label it right now, but for me, commitment is really important in this relationship. And I really want to commit to you. And I'd love it if you wanted to commit to me and we could choose this together. But if you don't, I need to know because I'm looking for commitment in a relationship and for us to, and for it to move forward. It doesn't have to be, we don't have to get married tomorrow, of course, but I do want to pursue this with you. And I think that's part of like the oracle, the feminine. It's like, I feel this and I'm going to be vulnerable here right now. And that means that I have to put myself out there, and you might, he could say, nah, I'm not into it. I don't want to put a label on it. No, I don't want this. That, you know, you may have to put the relationship may dissolve, but it also may, you also may give yourself the opportunity to be claimed. It may call him forward.
And that's the risk.
That's the risk.
Right. And it's always going to be a risk to be a woman that deeply expresses the desires of her heart. It's always going to be a risk, whether you're dating someone or you're 10 years or 20 years into a partnership with them, right? There's always going to be risk of rejection. There's always going to be risk of, will I be met in this? Is he or she willing to meet me in this? But what I always say too to women that are dating is, fuck, bring your desires as quickly as fucking possible, right? To find out if this is the man that can meet you.
Yeah.
If you're expecting to be 3 or 4 months into the relationship, even 6 months, 12 months into a relationship, and then you're like, oh, I can be myself. Oh, that's when I'll actually share with him that I want to be married. That's when I actually will share with him, you know, the truth of my fullness, or to bring out my full expression, or to uncage these parts of myself that I haven't. No, because then what if you get the information of, oh, like, this is not what I thought you wanted. Oh, now you're bringing me this new, this wasn't what I truly believe in, this like filtering the intention behind, or if I was in the dating world, my intention behind dating would, yes, to be having fun and exploring and meeting people. But also if I held the desire of deep partnership, this is a process of filtering. Is this person able to meet me in what I desire? Are our desires compatible in that way? And so the more quickly you can reveal what it is you desire and be witnessed in that, the more quickly you have, you know, clarity on, is this person right for me to continue to pour my energy and open my heart to?
Hmm.
What else?
I think that's just such a beautiful, like, I know we're not in the dating world and I know we haven't been single for so long, but I think this is really important information.
Mm.
Like, and what I want to, I probably just want to like temper all of what we share with, like, it's okay if you do not uphold your standard and you do pursue the partnership that isn't just right for you. And I think this is like any kind of journey of growth and expansion and deepening into what you truly desire, there's going to be times where you find out what it is that you don't want, which then only amplifies more of what you do want.
Yeah.
And it's about allowing yourself to have these like moments of awareness and not making yourself, oh fuck, look, I've done it again. Oh God, I've should have seen the red flags, or I shouldn't have, my anxious attachment style's flaring out, whatever it is, like all of those things. It's like, hey, you're human.
Mm.
Hey, you're human and you have a desire to be loved. That's cool. And you're learning how to cultivate the ability to communicate those desires and to not say yes to anything that doesn't fully honor those desires.
Mm.
And that's a really important thing. So just understand that, yeah, it's a journey, this, and you get to go on that journey. And a big part of that is learning more about yourself.
Mm.
I think that's the biggest thing that I've, when we got together, I was so connected to myself.
Mm.
And I feel like you were really focused on yourself as well. And then when we came together, there was this brewing of our relationship, and didn't happen as fast as maybe you wanted. And I wasn't as conscious of what was going on as maybe I wish I had have been, but we were both like devoted to, you know, what we deeply wanted.
Yes.
And I think that's really the piece there, is like, you know, you can't just be like devoted to the desires that you want in a relationship. You have to be devoted to the desires of all areas of life and be fully embracing life in that way as well.
Yeah.
And that for me is really important. Do you want to speak about men now? Or would you like to keep speaking about women?
No, go for it. Bring what you want to bring.
I feel for men who are in the dating world, like there's a really important piece that you are really working on what your vision for life is.
Mm-hmm.
I knew a really clear thing for me was I wanted to be a father.
Mm.
That was like the main thing. And I would do anything to become a father. Like I would abandon every other desire that I have to become a father. I then had to learn that there were other desires in my life, and that was a big journey for me to go on. But the thing with men is, like, if you're not really clear on what you want and a woman says yes to you and you don't have the ability to discern and say no, and you end up in a relationship and then you realize, actually, I don't really want a relationship with this woman, but I've come this far. It's just easier to stay in this relationship and do the things. I've seen so many men fall victim to that.
Mm.
But I've also seen men who protect themselves from a deeper relationship, and they keep cycling through these short-term relationships because they're too scared to go to that next level, which we were speaking about with commitment. And for me, the thing that I see most in men is that they don't actually know what they fucking want. And when if they do know what they want, they're scared to say it out loud.
Mm.
They're so scared to claim what it is that they desire and make it known to the universe, to spirit, and say, hey, listen, this is the standard that I want for my life. Because once you say that, you then have to get to fucking work.
Mm.
You then have to get to fucking work. And it's only, I would argue, in the last week, I've actually felt like the man of the house.
Mm.
And it's been fucking nearly 10 years of me journeying deep with like my healing and my fucking business and my relationship and all the shit that goes on in a man's life. And it's only in the last, yeah, I'd say the last week, where I was able to pay, you know, I've been able to, you know, financially provide doing something that I love whilst also staying present and being engaged with my relationship. And it's for the first time I felt like I actually might be able to fucking do this. I actually might be able to like do this.
Mm.
I actually might be able to have what I want and do things that I love.
Mm.
And this is the journey. Like, this is the initiation and the ongoing responsibility of manhood. And for me, this is a really important piece that you are in contemplation and taking time to sit with your vision.
Yeah. And just as a heterosexual woman's perspective, that's really attractive.
Yeah.
Like a man on purpose, a man with vision is for many women a safe man.
Yeah.
Is a man. Why is he a safe man? Because that's a man that we feel, okay, if we go into life with this man, I feel like he is, you know, he knows where he's going,
mm-hmm.
and he could provide and he could protect, and mm-hmm. I can feel safe if I was to choose to have a family with this man. He could provide for us. He could, you know, take us where we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a very attractive quality for a woman. I would say, especially a woman who is very clear that she desires partnership.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also feeling like just thinking, just because we've already spoken about that maiden kind of energy.
Yeah.
I'm like, and I don't know if this is a warning for women out there. I don't know. You can do what you want, but I feel like what I see and what I don't want to say this. I did a post a while ago and it was like, dear conscious men.
Yeah.
And I might like hyperlink it here in the show notes or something, but basically it was like, should I just read this post out?
Yeah, just read it out. It's so good.
And it's going to sound like I'm going off topic here, but this is going to be really potent for the women wanting to dating, especially like conscious spiritual women. Okay. Dear conscious men, just because you practice semen retention and can quote David Data does not automatically make you a safe masculine space. Just because you say, I see you, I hear you, does not mean a woman feels seen and heard in your presence. Just because you tell a woman all of you is welcome does not mean you're actually embodying this as truth. Men, want to know what we as women ache for most from you? Integrity. We want to feel that you're a man of your word. We want what you say to align with what you do. So I'm sorry, but it's simply not enough to just know how to say the right things. No, we want to fucking feel you embodying those things, living out those things, being a stand for those things. This is what creates trust. This is what makes us feel safe enough to open and surrender. Not simply you just regurgitating stuff from the way of the superior man. So men, you want to walk beside a fully embodied feminine woman? Well, be a man of your word. Stop telling a woman all of you is welcome unless you really fucking mean it. Stop telling her it's safe to bring her fullness unless you're actually ready to stay and hold as she brings her rage, her chaos, her grief, her mess, and her magic. Stop saying, I see you, unless you're really willing to witness her in the full spectrum of her. Men, we love you, we need you, and we're so ready to be met by you. Aho.
And so it is.
And I share this because I feel like a woman in her maiden energy
mm-hmm.
can't yet see.
Discern.
Mm-hmm. When she takes a man's word for his word, she can't mm-hmm. actually feel whether that man is in integrity.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm kind of saying this, but based on like the vision bit too, because I just feel like there are so many flowy men out there in the conscious space that can say all the right things. But for me, in my personal opinion, aren't really a safe space for a woman because they don't know where they're fucking going.
Mm-hmm.
They're not anchored in their body. They're mm-hmm. not anchored in like a truth.
Yeah.
They're not a strong masculine space for a woman that deeply yearns for that.
Yeah.
And so, again, I'm bringing this forth as a real invitation again for women to really, and dating is just such an incredible place for you to practice the art of discernment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, this man is saying this, but are his actions aligned? He said he sees me and he respects me, but you know, he takes a week to get back to me, or he says we're going to meet up at this time and then he doesn't show up or he cancels mm-hmm. the last minute. Like, you know, really trusting or being only available for a man whose words and actions really integrate.
And I really feel that like dating in your 30s, I think if a man can't like have a vision for his life, or share with you where he's going, then that is like a good indication that he hasn't really like deepened into the masculine, I guess, the masculine way.
Yes.
And that's really important. So the other side of that is that, you know, you want a man that you can feel as well.
Yeah.
So you don't want a robot that can sit there and give you projections for the next 30 years of his life. Because fuck that. You want a man that's fun and present and potent in his like his aliveness. And that's something that is important as well.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that men have to be perfect, but there has to be a willingness in that. Like I want a willingness to like create a vision for my life and to fail in the pursuit of it. And also not forget that you can have fun. And that's something that I, you know, I've swung the pendulum on many times where I've been super serious and then super fun, super serious and super fun. And it's like, it's learning how to bring that, what I would call like this safe energy of like, you're here with me. And if I didn't know where we, if I didn't have anywhere, if I wasn't aware of where we were going, I'd trust you to guide me. You're here with me now and I trust where you're taking me.
Yes.
And I think that's a really beautiful, even more recently, you know, I've been really engaged with my work and I was having a chat with my mate Pete today and I was like, I really can see where I've dropped the ball the last couple of weeks is that I'm taking all of this responsibility, but then I'm telling Meg to go and sit in the other room while I do it all. And I was like, hang on, I actually need to communicate what's going on. Hey, lover, this is what I'm doing. This is when I'm doing it and this is how I'm doing it because that's what allows this to, this life to continue to operate. This lifestyle that we're building together and the baby and the new house and everything. And it's like, I actually need to bring you in to my, into my world and share some of the decisions and speak to you about some of the things. And like, this is a balance of both being present and offering you an insight whilst also being very clear on where I'm going.
Totally.
And I think that's a beautiful skill. If you're a man, if you can cultivate that, and you're in the dating world, you then have a level of your integrity will guide you in the relationships that you're exploring.
Yes. And I think it's, I don't want any man to think that he has to go on a date with a woman and be like you said,
she has to be,
want to hear about my vision. If here is my purpose in life.
You want like, the 3, the 5, or the 10-year vision because I got all of them.
So it's not about regurgitating these things at all.
Ask me about my vision.
Yeah. I swear I'm a masculine man. Just ask me.
Ask me about my vision. Go on.
No, this is, you know, that's a felt, that's a felt experience. And I really want to bring this piece in. And this is actually something I was so clear on.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I was very young when we met, I was journaling a lot of the time.
You were journaling.
I used to journal so much.
And there were crystals.
And there were crystals.
In your bra.
And for those of you that don't know this, the first birthday we were together for, like your birthday. Sorry, it sounds like you were one. We were together and the first birthday. How do I say that?
Your Jacob's birthday, when the first birthday.
That we experienced together.
Yes.
I made up this like journal.
You were crafty.
I was so crafty. This meant so much because I truly believe I think I wrote something on the.
Should I go and get it?
Do you have it?
Should I go get it? Meg, I have everything.
No, that makes me. It makes me.
I'll go get it. Yeah, I'll go get it. Hey, you keep talking. You keep telling people about it, and I'll go get it. Perfect. I'll be back, guys.
I want to choose the ones we read.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. But anyway, I used to journal about Jacob a lot, and there were so 9 months between me meeting him at Ray Organics, which was this like health food store. He worked there and I was a customer and I used to come in a lot and I was journaling a lot at the time. I was listening to heaps of Abraham Hicks. So I just used to journal about what I wanted and I would journal about how I wanted my partner, my future partner to make me feel. And so I would journal not about like what he looked like or how much money he made or any of those things. I would talk about how present he was with me and how deeply he listened and all of these different things. So I would write all of this. And then also when I started to feel that you were that man I was journaling about, I used to journal about you. And then so for those of you watching, this is what I made Jacob for his birthday. Oh my gosh, I like hole punched it and everything.
That's, yeah.
And then I said, "Dearest Jacob, a collection of my musings for you to read. Insane proof that you are indeed a product of my creation, my desires made manifest. Thank you for being unapologetically you. Infinite love, Meg."
Tell me you're a maiden without telling me you're a maid.
I can't read any of this. This is 10 fucking years ago. This is 28th of January, 2014.
Are you going to read it or are you just going to? Not that one.
But on the 26th of February, so this is over a year ago, on my gratitude list.
Over a year ago.
So I just went through my entire journal and picked out what I, like, things about the man I wanted, and then also things when Jacob was in it. So on the 26th of February, 2014, on my gratitude list was my mom, my little sister, my body, my ability to write and create food, friendly Jacob, my family.
Friendly Jacob.
My gratitude list at the end of March, 29th of March, 2014. Gratitude list, Kristen Graham. Shout out to Kristen Graham.
Shout out to KDG.
Soulful Chats Markets, my beautiful coaching clients, Ray Organics Jacob, Good Chats / Connection.
Ooh, friendly to Good Chats.
Oh my God.
Connection.
It's so funny. Just the words I use in some of this, like,
give people like, just do the exit.
It's too cringy, guys. Gratitude list, 20th of April, number 10, Jacob. I love chatting to him. Makes me happy. Oh,
this is making me emotional. Read it, please.
I'm going to cry.
Yeah, read it out. Go on. read it out.
It's so vulnerable.
I know, but everyone's okay, aching.
27th of May, 2014. So this is like 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So this is in my journal. Obviously, the day I realized I really liked you.
Yeah.
I said, I want him. Only today did I realize the way he smiles. His enthusiasm for life, his kindness, his laugh, his sudden stunted nervousness. We connect. He seems to get me. I'm so attracted to his passion, his stories, his amazing positivity. I love to talk to him. His simplicity. That's it. That's what has me. His joy in the little things. His choice to live freely. I can't wait to have fun with him. I can't wait to laugh and learn from him. That was like 6 months before we got together. Guys, I often joke that I stalked you. This could also be like, what a stalker writes.
This is evidence.
I want him. Only today did I realize. Oh, that's so beautiful. Okay. Now we're in. I'm just going to flow with this to see what else.
Yeah.
Oh, and this is after what I thought was our first date.
Yeah.
But later you didn't think it was a first date at the time.
I didn't realize it was a first date, yeah.
And I said, God, I'm so unbelievably comfortable with him. We spent the whole day together adventuring. I love his confidence and how uninhibited he is in expressing his childlike nature to play so freely. It gave me permission to do the same, to be me without any sense of judgment. He's unbelievably chilled.
Super chill.
Yet his sudden bouts of, I keep saying the word stuntedness.
Yeah.
You must have been awkward in like a cute way, attractive way. Bring a smile to my face. Oh, they're the only sign I get from him that I might make him a little nervous. I say, I'd so just.
Say it.
Oh, my God. I so desire a sexual relationship. Not, I want to fuck him. I so desire a sexual relationship with him. That's hilarious. Yet I can't envision how it's ever going to possibly evolve.
The yearn.
We're so in a comfortable friendship right now, but that's the beautiful part, isn't it? The unknown, the uncertainty. And then like 10 days later, oh my God, a little excerpt from my journal entry. The day after you came over, played a little guitar and we slept under the stars. This is
also
again,
didn't,
you didn't think I cooked dinner for you. I put mattresses under the stars because I had a single bed and I put a double mattress under the stars or two different mattresses.
Two different mattresses that can't.
I feel very strongly for Jacob. After having him over last night, it just cemented for me my deep attraction towards him. When he was playing guitar, I literally wanted to jump him. It was unbelievably sexy watching him so engrossed in something. Presence and passion, my two favorite things. This is what I'm talking about. I was so clear on like, I wanted a man that was super present and very passionate about something, that knew what he wanted, knew what he loved to do. I feel childlike around him. Playful, silly, open, comfortable. Yeah. I think this is... Oh, the things I say are hilarious.
I'll post up a carousel with a few of these for you guys. Give you a little insight.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Is there anything else that you wanted to share?
Oh, on the end it says to be continued.
And now having a baby.
Now having a baby. How wild is that? Look how cute I was.
It makes me really, that's like, that is very, that's a lot. This is one of my favorite things that I own. I am very sentimental with things.
Yeah, you are.
Thanks.
I love, both of us love cards.
Yeah.
I love cards and I love the written word.
You do.
Yeah. That was really beautiful. This episode took a real...
So guys, dating, yeah?
Turn. Dating. All you got to do is write in your journal, write stalkerish poetry for them, and then...
Poetry that could potentially get you put in jail if...
And then create a handmade book.
You weren't working full time, were you?
No, I was 22 living at home with my parents.
What I really want to circle back to around the standard, like in that time, could you tell a story about that other person that what you want that invited you on the date? I think that's so this is
a great story.
Yeah.
That's just like a great, I was great at holding. I knew what I motherfucking wanted. I was young,
yes,
but I knew what I wanted. And so I, as you can see from my journal entries,
very clear.
I was very,
very politically correct.
I was feeling a lot with Jacob and I would go into the store and I was listening to so much Abraham Hicks at the time, which is all about focus on the feeling.
Yes.
And I was so clear. I wanted a man that I felt that I could feel his presence with me. He listened deeply, like made me feel like he was really there with me, and this passion and this like creativity that was really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really feeling a lot with you, but then obviously, you know, kept coming into the store, like, you know, we started a friendship and then nothing was ever really happening. And I was also clear that I didn't want to force things. I was like, if this is meant to happen, I'm going to really trust the unfolding. And
that trust was really important.
I was really trusting the unfolding. And I'm like, I'm okay with the slow burn and I'm still seeing him and I'm still, you know.
I know where he lives.
Yeah, I do know where he lives. I know where he works. He can't get away from me. And then I went on this. I did this like conference thing to just a little conference thing that I worked at for a few days. And there was this guy at this conference that came over to me. We started chatting. You know, we had a really beautiful connection and then he asked for my number and then he asked me on a date later on. And I remember, or it wasn't even like, it was like, let's catch up for a drink. And then we're organizing a time. And then it was, I remember being literally parked in West End and maybe it wasn't like we'd planned this date for ages, but I remember he had texted me and said, hey, you want to meet like tonight at 6:00. And I was literally about to get out of the car. Or it was the time I had to make the decision to basically say to this guy, yes or no. And I remember sitting there about to text him back. And I was like, if Jacob was to have asked me on a date right now, would I go on a date with this guy? Like I was just feeling like if Jacob was to, you know, make a move on me, would I be going on a date with this guy? And it was a no. It was like, no, I want Jacob. I'm really clear on that. I'm feeling something there. This isn't that same as that feeling. And I literally said no to this guy. No, sorry. I don't want to go on a date with you anymore. and it was a beautiful man. He was a gorgeous man. And like there was, you know, he's a lot older as well. I really went for the older men in my early 20s. I always say that if we were like to not be, maybe not now because I'm having a baby, but if we would have, there's something about, and maybe I'm looking forward to this age that you'll be at, but something I found really sexy about a man that's 40 to 42, 43.
Oh, that 3-year window.
Yeah. Maybe like early 40s.
Yeah. I would
say. I find that so sexy. Maybe there's something, maybe you're just going to be so sexy at that age. And I'm just like, so like, yes.
I think we circle back to, it's a man that has like lived, he's developed himself. He, yeah. It's the king. Yeah, and it's like, it's a man that's been through the trials and tribulations. And I'm sure you could go and you could yearn and want a man like that.
Yeah.
But if you've stood alongside a man that has grown and you've watched him every step of the way, like the what you're looking at is a man that's, you know, walked the path.
Oof.
And you're looking at the kind of the end result of a man that has, you know, been initiated into his king energy.
Yes.
I would argue that that is the journey that if you find someone that's willing to go on that journey with you, fuck.
And I love that too, because say what you want about Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
Watching his thing, I am obsessed with his partner. I don't even think they're married, but the way she has stood the fuck by his side, like they didn't get together when he was like a multi fucking millionaire and like unbelievably or however much money he has.
Yeah.
She was like there when he was on whatever, like government payments and training. And like, you know, I love that piece that, you know, if that is really important to you, awesome. If being provided for immediately is really important to you. And there's also this energy of like, can I be there for this man, knowing that I would love him to step into that role for me, but maybe that's not right now.
And
can I feel his devotion and his desire to be that for me?
That's
been our journey.
Totally. His willingness to develop his own sense of greatness.
Mm.
A man can be powerful in his vision, but if he doesn't actualize that vision through taking every next step, then you've got a man that is just in fantasy land.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, a lot of guys talk to me. They're like, yeah, I just want to be a coach and I can just see all of the, I can see what I want to create. I'll create this massive big impact. I'm like, well, fucking get a bucket and a fucking shovel and come to fucking work. Because it's going to take work.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys, yeah, but I just know, like, I can help these men. I'm like, well, help them. If you're going to fucking talk about it, be about it.
Mm.
And that's the biggest thing is as you develop a vision, you have to start to become devoted to the daily steps, you know, once again, Pete and I were talking about this is like consistency in maintaining your integrity and having the courage to admit when you are out of integrity and then stepping back in.
Yes.
Mm. And that's a journey, right? That's a journey that you go on with another human. And like, I can't sit here on this podcast with you right now without having gone from like this notebook here, this beautiful notebook that you made for me that I'll never, ever let go of. Like we now have a fucking story. Like we've developed experiences and challenges and overcome all this shit. So we can look back and be grateful. We've got this beautiful, beautiful 10 years together that we can be incredibly grateful for.
Mm.
And that takes fucking work, right? And that takes depth of choosing. And it took your discernment in the beginning to be able to like deeply choose this. And then for you to call me forward and for me to deeply choose it in a way that I'd never chosen a relationship before. And yeah, I think that we've really gone off the topic of, you know, how to date or what dating's like. We haven't even talked about
the apps,
but yeah, I think that what we've shared is, I like to think that we are what we've created is the result of people deeply choosing ourselves and the relationship.
Yes.
And not seeing it as one or the other.
Yes, completely. I want to go back to what we were saying about that discernment I had, or like that the choice to go, no, I don't want to go on a date with that guy.
Please.
Because I also want to say that it wasn't my attachment to you. It was because I think sometimes in dating we can like get grippy and it's like, that's the person. It needs to be that person. And that was something that arose for me during that time, that 9 fucking months.
Yeah.
But also I was very much continuing to be in the practice of like, let go of it needing to be him.
Mm-hmm.
And also just focus on what about him? What is he showing me that I love in a man?
Yes.
What is he demonstrating that's attractive to me? And like, if it doesn't end up being him, this is great fucking clarity that I love seeing someone creative and I love someone that plays music and I love, you know, these things that I'm feeling from this man. And so when I chose not to go on the other date, it wasn't just because I'm like, Jacob is the only man for me. It was like, oh, I'm actually not feeling that same presence and that same passion and those same things that I'm feeling from Jacob and I'm loving from Jacob from this other man.
Mm.
And so, yeah, I just think again, like reiterating what we said at the beginning, this, I really see this as such a practice for both men and women, but I work with mainly women around like being only being available for what you really want to be fucking available for.
Mm.
And this isn't about not giving people a chance, but this is like not holding on to something when it's clear that it's the man is not showing you the traits, the things that you're really after.
Or if there's a and if there is a slow burn going on and you're building a relationship with someone and that isn't moving as quickly as you like, and then something else presents itself, be honest with yourself. Like,
yeah,
if that other the thing that pops up and it's exciting and new and has the potential to move faster than what you're already cultivating, ask yourself, like, do I actually want this, or am I actually, do I want to see where this goes? And if I had to choose, what would I choose? And I think what I'm taking from what a lot of what you're sharing, my love, and I want everyone who's listening to contemplate, is like, for you to be a yes to something, you have to be a no to everything else.
Oof. Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
And that's such an important piece. Like, you were like, Jacob represents the qualities in a man that I want. I'm going to say yes to that.
Mm.
And I'm going to say no to everything else.
Mm.
And that in that moment, you made a decision, which then, you know, worked out for you, worked out for me.
Mm.
But that has to be, you have to be willing to take that risk. And I think that's one of the things that for relationships and for dating, I think there's like, I encourage you to like get really clear on what you want, hold a standard and be discerning, but then also be willing to take a risk and, you know, trust the feeling, not necessarily the form.
Yes.
Mm.
And I think another piece that I think is so helpful in releasing that grip, because I know a lot of women that can get grippy in the realm of dating, is like, is trust.
Mm-hmm.
Trust in the mystery, trust in life, trust in whatever you call that force.
Mm-hmm. Trusting in the mystery.
That was a song we made up.
Yeah.
Na, 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 na. And I love the line, like, what is for me cannot pass me. And I think that's so important of a reminder when we're feeling ourselves like, should I text back? Should I do this thing? Should I, da, da, da? When that anxiousness is wanting to come in the realm of dating, it's like, what is for me cannot pass me. I remember repeating that again and again when in those 9 months together and be like, before we got together. So I was like, oh, I can feel the part of me that wants to like text you or like, you know, force this. Mm-hmm. And again, if you want something, go the fuck after it. And if you want to express something and want to be committed to, like, don't hold back on that. Mm-hmm. But also, is that coming from a place of anxiety or is it coming from a place of truth?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an important piece.
Totally.
Should we just do like quick fire thoughts on apps, dating apps, those kind of things? Just because we said we were going to.
We want to stay in integrity.
Yeah, we are men and women of the word.
I think the short answer that I want to give, because I know we're coming up to time, is it's not the app, it's how you use it. It's not the
man.
Yeah, I say this to people, like if you're going into something with an expectation or an attachment or this is what I need to get from this, you've instantly lost out on the potential, the possibility that comes with that. You know, I have great experiences on Facebook Marketplace. Facebook Marketplace is kind of like the Tinder and the for married men. It is. There's so many dudes that just love to flick through Facebook Marketplace and scroll. Okay. We get to message someone, hey, is this still available?
And you're still getting like the dopamine hit of like being on. Yes. Yeah.
It's like, oh, I get to, you know, I don't have to go and look at this. Like, I look at some ridiculous shit on Facebook Marketplace. But once again, it's like I go on there and I'm like, I'm not clear on what I want from it. And I'm not clear on what my intention is. And I'm not clear on why I'm using it. And then I end up scrolling and then I'm looking at shit that I don't even need.
Yeah.
And this is the same thing with apps. It's like, if you're going on that app, why are you going on it? What is your intention? And how can you be really clear and stay in integrity and not use the app as kind of like this way to mitigate risk and to kind of get what you want without giving something to the space?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I get the question all the time from single women, like, oh, should I be on the apps? I don't want to be on the apps. Like, and almost this, I feel like a judgment of themselves for potentially being on the app. And,
yeah.
You know, I think I feel a neutrality to apps. And I would say if you are single and potentially wanting to be on the apps, come at it with a sense of neutrality. It's neither right or wrong. It's not, it's not good or bad. It's the way in which you're choosing to navigate that. And I think apps, I've seen many people, you know, have great relationships through apps or meeting in that way. And the reality is it's a big way in which people meet these days. I would just say be in a right relationship with that choice. If it doesn't feel good for you, get off the motherfucking app and go out into life. If you don't feel, if being on an app doesn't feel true for you, choose to carry the story of there are men, if you're a woman, there are men everywhere out in the world. You know, I can meet him in a supermarket. I can meet him, you know, at the dog park. There's like, choose the story of there are men, there are single men everywhere.
Yeah.
There are beautiful, incredible single men everywhere. And all I have to go out is live. All I have to do is go out and live my life and be in the motherfucking world. And I will come face to face with incredible, glorious single men.
Aho.
And I think we're, like our story, I know many people that have met in real life as well. Like it's still fucking happening. I think sometimes there can be a story of the apps is the only way to meet people.
Yeah.
But I would say a lot of, you know, a lot of humans I know that are in partnership, you know, I know people that have met on apps, but I also know people that have met in real life in
totally
many different ways.
And like, I'm going to apply this to my life in regards to like my business, you know, my business is online and you know, I've got this one bro, Manuel, and he's from Europe. And he and I have this beautiful relationship because I decided to message him and invite him into one of my programs. He said yes. And now a couple of times a year, he and I send voice notes back to each other on WhatsApp. And it's kind of like this pen pal. And we've got this beautiful relationship and we speak to each other. And like that would never have happened. I wouldn't have that relationship with him if it wasn't for Instagram.
Yeah.
So I can't say that Instagram's the right way to meet people or the wrong way to meet people. Same as I can't say that Tinder or whatever the other apps are the right way or the wrong way to meet people. Like it's the intention and your soul's path. Well, if you really trust it, it'll take you where you need to go. And in saying that, you know, I've met people out in the world where I've just said hello to them. And then I've built a deep relationship with this person after being at an event or at a coffee shop. And then next thing you know, they're one of my close friends. And I'm like, oh, that is how I relate in the world. Like I don't put rules or expectations, but I have a clear intention and I have discernment.
Yeah. Like go, if you do or don't want to be on an app, but if you're very clear, an app isn't for me and it's not the way I want to meet people, go out in the world.
Be in the
and
world.
Meet people. You are phenomenal at this. And I would say, actually, the time in which we met, I'm actually okay at this now, but I go through seasons of not wanting to talk to anyone when I'm out.
Yeah.
But when we met, I was like wanting to chat to people. I was wanting to go into the stores. I was wanting to have conversations. I was wanting to chat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's magnetic as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So magnetic to be out in the world open.
Yes.
Right? Open to experiences, open to conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you can practice this by going to your coffee shop and ordering a coffee and like, you know, being like, how, like actually not just being like, hi, I'm going to have the flat white and then walking away. Like actually beginning to open to conversation and be out in the world and, you know, be in life.
Be curious.
Yeah.
Be curious. I think that's super, super fun. Like I fall in love with baristas all the time. I think baristas are the maiden. It's like, here's your coffee, Jacob. I'm like, oh my God, I love you. Thank you so much. Like it's like a really nourishing energy, but like you get to go out and like, and be curious and like, and relate with the feminine. If you're a man, like relate with the feminine without attachment.
Mm.
Like, thank you. Or like, if you can be playful with this, like, hey, Jay, like go up like, oh, what coffee? Do you want? Oh, make me your favorite coffee, please. What's your, and then they make it. I'm like, oh, is your favorite coffee a latte? Or, you know, and you get to like be exchanging energy in the world without coming across as too forward or too, you get to taste and play in the energy. And I think for me, like one of the greatest things that I learned was, you know, I did always had customer service jobs. So I learned how to communicate by doing. And I think for a lot of men, like if you are a bit awkward or if you don't feel confident speaking or if you know, you've got the provider, you've got a good job, or you're like, oh, I tick all the boxes. Why aren't I? Like, a big part of it is going out and being in the world.
Yeah.
And being in relationship with the world and learning how to speak and open up. And same with for a woman, if you do feel like, oh, where is he? Where is he? Just go out and explore. Go out and be curious and follow your, you know, follow your desires and what would Abraham Hicks say? Follow your truth.
Follow the feeling.
Follow the feeling.
Follow the feeling.
All you got to do is find the feeling.
Yeah. And even like getting clear on how do I want to feel or what are some of the qualities I would love in a partner? Mm-hmm. And if it is creativity, go and do a fucking creative class somewhere. Like go into a pottery class, go to a music class, like go out into the world. And, you know, love is risky. You know, meeting people is, you know, it's going to ask you. And I always say this to women, like, the price we pay to be fully expressed, or the price we pay to really be out there in the world being women that get what we want, is awkward and uncomfortable. We're going to have to pay that price. And I think that's especially in the realm of dating. Like, it can be awkward to speak our truth and to ask for what we want. It can be awkward to, you know, be out in the world exploring and, you know, getting curious and putting ourselves in situations like, or experiences we might not usually, for the sake of knowing, okay, I'm not going to meet someone in my home behind a screen or watching fucking Netflix. Mm-hmm. There's a glorious man out there in the motherfucking world. Well, I got to go out there into the motherfucking world and explore and put myself in spaces where he can find me. I love that idea of like people that are meant to be in partnership are looking for each other. Like, if you have the feeling of I'm ready for partnership, I want you to believe that there is someone else out in the world simultaneously right at this moment going, I'm looking for partnership. I'm really looking for partnership. And so you going out into the world to the art class or going to the dog park, because what I've realized since getting a dog is if you are single or if you are someone who is wanting to make connections in the world, get a fucking dog.
That's great. That's
get a dog.
If you don't want to go and do a sales and communication workshop, transformational workshop, get a dog and go for a walk down the street. Get a cute dog and just go for a walk.
Oh my gosh. I've never spoken to so many strangers. I have besties at the dog park now.
Have a group of really close friends that we would die for now. I've seen these people more than I've seen my other friends.
We see them most days. Yeah. What was it? Where was I going with that?
Sure.
This idea of like you're out in the world putting yourself in places to make you more easily able to be found by that person who's also looking for you. I just think that's so fucking adorable and sweet and beautiful and heartwarming. And it's not this like, I've got to go out and work hard or like, where are they? It's like, oh, I'm going and living and life is going to bring us together. I'm going to go out and live and life is going to bring us together. Whether that's the ping to be on the app and to scroll through at night, I've got the ping, I've got the feeling, I'm going to scroll. Or it's the, oh, I'm going to go on a walk to the beach there. I'm just going to go to a cafe and take my book and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Someone was only telling me recently that, some friends were telling us about how like they met on the app and they went in to delete the app and there was.
Who was that?
I don't know whether they'd want us to share their story on here,
we don't have to say who it was.
But I remember them saying that, they went in, she went in to delete the app and there was a message from him, or she saw him. She's like, oh, I don't mind the look of him. Clicked, boom. And now, you know, they're in deep relationship. And it's like, you've got to be willing to engage with the field to start your story.
Yeah.
And if you're not engaging with the field of life, and I call it the field because it could be the app or it could be the art class or it could be the dog park or it could be Wet and Wild. It could be a business networking event. It could be, I don't know, it could be a sushi making class. It could be anything. You could go to run club, go and do yoga on the beach, go and join a breathwork and ice bath. You know, go and find where your values are aligned with the space or with what you're looking for, and then trust that, you know, your story with another will start there. And if it doesn't, then keep exploring. And then the story will start just like ours did. And it might take 9 months, might take 10 months, who knows, but it will. The if you're actively relating with the field of possibility and you're engaging in these different areas where you are excited to go already, you're going to be more of you. Which means that you're going to become a match for whoever it is that is here to journey with you.
Mm.
And then you can start whatever story you've got. And then you get to look back in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years time and
your origin story.
Yeah. Talk about your origin story.
That potentially started at Wet n Wild.
Please, if anyone
I want
met their beloved at Wet n Wild, please let me know.
DM us.
That would, yes, DM us and I want to know.
Like just a single person rocking up at Wet n Wild being like,
I don't know about you, but if you're single and you rock up to Wet n Wild solo and you go there for the date, respect. Like if you don't go there with friends, like that's somewhere that I would go with family or friends. I wouldn't just go there.
Yeah, I'm also thinking there's a lot of children there. Maybe you don't rock up as a...
Do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. I kind of want to go to Wet n Wild alone. I think I'd like that.
I'm a single 45-year-old man at Wet n Wild.
What is going on? Go to Outback Spectacular. Amazing. I feel complete, my love. Is there anything that you wanted to speak into?
And just for those that aren't Australian, Wet n Wild, it's like a water park.
Yeah, it's not a like a group sex place.
Yeah.
It's a huge water park.
Yeah. There's lots of children there. Sounds creepy.
We would be so excited as young teenagers to come up and go to Wet n Wild from the country. It was like, I thought that was the Gold Coast. I thought Wet n Wild was the Gold Coast. I was like, Wet n Wild, Movie World, Dream World. Oh my fucking God.
Theme parks.
Fucking funny. Can we do a quick fire question? Just some what ifs.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to date in your, say we never met, say you're in your 30s, you're single. Where would you go? Where would you go to find, to start, to seek out a person to start your love story with?
I love this question. I would definitely, if I was in the same work I was in, so like working for myself, I would definitely work from cafes a lot.
Yeah, that you would be a cutie in a cafe.
And I would have like my local cafe that I went to a lot and I'd be really connected to like the people there, but I would also hop around to different cafes.
So you'd have like 2 to 3 days a week in one cafe, but then you'd have a variety day.
And I would be really open, obviously, to getting work done, but also to like chatting to the people and building connections in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely be like going to yoga and going to Pilates lots and maybe not necessarily meeting a man there, but just like I'd be in the community.
You'd be at the markets.
I'd be at the markets.
You'd so be at the markets. Yeah.
I'd really be at the markets.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would really walk through life. And I was definitely in that season when we met. But I would definitely walk through life with this sense of openness. Not every day if I wasn't feeling it, no. But like if I knew I wanted partnership, I would walk into the markets being open. You know, my eyes would be up. I'd be willing to make eye contact with people. I would be, you know, willing to let them feel me. I would be letting my essence shine through.
You'd be radiating feminine energy all over the place.
I would be. I would be like, and that's like attractive. And I say attractive not in like a...
physical sense.
Oh, she's hot. It's like it attracts energy when you're open and when you're letting the world feel you instead of walking into the market, scrolling a phone and having your shoulders kind of like your neck down and, you know?
Yeah.
It's this open energy. So I'd be very intentional about that. I don't know. I'd probably play on the apps, but then I do not think I would be someone that would be, or I know I would probably check myself if I was like, oh my God, I've been scrolling on the apps and da da da. Okay. I want to take a break from the app and I want to go and be in the world. Where else? I'd just go try shit. I'd go out in the world and try things.
New experiences.
And I'd go and try things that I knew. Not just with the sole purpose of meeting someone, but it would be like, oh, there's going to be people here and this would be, I'm really interested in this and I'd put myself out in the world a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? If you were single, you're 34, we'd never met.
I would probably move to Peru and apprentice with a high level shaman for the next 6 years.
And what you just wouldn't have, but how about your deep desire to be a father? What if you're 34 and you're,
I think I don't know that like, that's always my first answer is like, I would go and apprentice as in Peru and like go to the mountains.
If we'd never met and you were single at 34, that's actually freedom to you.
Oh, that would be so incredible. but realistically,
everyone's like, fuck you, Jacob, play the game.
I think that I would be like, I don't think I was ever very good at dating or like, I wouldn't say that I'm masterful at. I was never really good at like getting women,
but imagine you're the man you are now, but you're single.
I'd have to carry a stick. get out of here. I'd have to. It'd be horrible. I wouldn't be able to leave the house. I'd have to stay in the house. I'd have to be on the apps. It would be torture.
Are you going to take this question seriously?
I think there'd be a part of me that would be deeply devoted to the things that I love. I think I'd spend a lot more time doing hobbies. And I think through that, I would, I think through those things, and I think I would be very open to like, I think I'd be more curious and ask more questions. I think I'm very, very bad at asking people questions these days because I am so deeply woven into my clients' lives as that safe space. I'm so deeply woven with you and my close friends that I don't really walk through the world with that deep level of curiosity anymore. And if people start telling me about themselves, I'm like, I don't actually want to know. Like there's a part of me, I've got other stuff. Like I'm on mission. Hey, I've got stuff. So I think there'd be a lot more, I think I'd have a lot more, time for people. And I'd be a lot more curious and see where the conversations would go. I think I'd spend a lot of time at cafes. Yes. I think I'd join a run club. I think I'd do more things at a co-gender.
Yeah.
I think I'd be doing a lot more things at a co-gender versus me just always doing men's work.
Yeah.
I think there'd be a deeper kind of weaving of like, okay, I'm going to go and do this run club at 5 a.m. in the morning. I'm going to go to this workshop that men and women are at. I'm going to go and, I'm going to go to this concert. I think I'd be a lot more open to, those things, which kind of shines a lot on, what we probably need to cultivate a little more in our relationship.
I just thought that too. It's like, oh, what? Mm. Like it is true and we're in a very different season of, we're about to have a baby,
of course.
And there is a reality and I was saying this last night when we were cleaning up my space, like, oh, when you're in your early 20s or your mid 20s and you're still kind of experimenting and there's lots of things and you don't maybe have the level of responsibility you might have. You know, we're both CEOs of our business, of our companies and businesses, and we're becoming parents. Like there is a lot more responsibility to that.
Yes.
And I want more hobbies.
Well, I would say that adventure and the unknown feeds us as individuals. Like for me, like when I go, like I'm going away this weekend to a men's retreat, and I'm like, this feeds me to go and be in the world as Jacob. And I think, for you to go and like explore these different hobbies, and there's like, it feeds us in a way that, I've been out all morning and I came back and I was like, I'm here. I feel present. I feel like I can bring a part of me that is now fed. It's not looking for something.
Yeah.
What a podcast.
That was fun.
Yeah.
We laughed. We cried.
We didn't die. We are still alive. I didn't have a rhyme for that. Sorry. Let's not finish on that. We're going to finish on this.
What? You end this.
Regardless of where you're at in a relationship, whether you're 10 years in, whether you're 1 month in, whether you're at the start of your own self-love journey and working out whatever you want, I want you to know that I'm holding the vision for you to know and feel love in your life from yourself and from the ones around you. And this is my great prayer for all humans to know that they are loved. And I really believe that regardless of where you're at on your relationship journey, like you deserve to be loved. Like you really, truly do. And that love can come from you and it can come from other people as well. And I want you to know that it's safe to open to that. It's safe to receive more than you've ever, ever thought you were worthy of. It's safe to give a little more as well. It's safe to give a little more. And you don't have to hold it all in and count your and count your marbles. You can literally give in this way. Love is it flows to and from. It's an infinite energy. And I just really believe that everyone deserves it. And That's my great prayer is that you, that all humans know that they are loved and they find the people that can love them really well. Aho.
Aho.
Mm.
Thanks for being here, everybody. That was really beautiful.
That was a fun talk. I'm so glad we didn't do that other topic that we were going to do and we chose this one.
That one's, I'm so glad too. And I'm really glad you went and ran and got the
I know exactly where it is at all times. I have a very organized cupboard full of trinkets, pieces of paper, pens,
axes,
paper clips, axes, little knives.
Jacob kind of slightly looks like a psychopath if you were to open his office cupboard. Because he has all of these axes lined out like perfectly.
It's eclectic. It's quirky. I'm a quirky guy.
No, it's I think it's like it's almost like too neat and the fact that this axe is lined up so neatly in the cupboard.
You'll have
is serial killer vibes.
Yeah. It's an archetype.
Okay.
All right.
Love you guys. We'll see you.
Bless up, bless up.
We'll
big
see
love.
You soon. Thanks for being here.
Peace.
Yo, yo, yo. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Sex, Love, and Everything in Between. Now, if you'd like to stay connected with Meg and I, you can head on over to Instagram and follow me at the Jacob O'Neill. And where can people find you, lover?
At the.meg.o.
Amazing. And yeah, guys, check out the show notes for all other information in regards to what we've got coming up. And yeah, we're super, super grateful that you guys have taken the time to listen in to this podcast. If you do have any topics or any questions, like I said, hit us up on Instagram and we'll see what we can do. Apart from that, have a beautiful, beautiful rest of your day.
Thanks for being here.
Big, big love.